Chapter 6. To whom do I go for help? On the last Saturday before school began, it rained all day. Unable to go out to the hill, Verity went up to her room instead. Aunt Judy had decorated this room in a wonderful fashion. Everything matched in a lovely rose print. There was a big solid bed with lots of cushions, ruffles, and a little reading light in just the right spot. A huge window filled half of the wall opposite the bed. In front of the window, a soft burgundy sofa stretched across, in case she wanted to just sit and enjoy the view. There was a lovely wooden desk in one corner, and a matching dresser in the other. It was such luxury. Bunching up the pillows on her bed, she reached for her Bible lying on the little bedside table. She had finished the first four books of the Bible, filled many pages of her notebook, and was about to start the book of Deuteronomy. Not far into Deuteronomy, she came across chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That seems odd, she thought. Why does God feel it's necessary to state that he is one God? Wouldn't that be obvious? She added another question to her notepad. The experiences of the children of Israel in the wilderness had been an eye-opener. At times the narrative changed from a story to factual information about their worship practices and instructions for building a tabernacle. As she was primarily searching for answers about life after death, she skimmed through the factual details fairly quickly. The stories, however, were fascinating to her eager mind. What kept repeating itself over and over again was how quickly people went astray from God's commands. There only ever seemed to be a handful of people out of thousands who were faithful to God and stood up for his ways. All the others were continually disobeying, complaining, being faithless, and wanting to worship idols. Why would anyone want to worship idols? She wondered aloud. And yet there must have been some compelling reason, because God even forbids making idols in the Ten Commandments. She was also surprised to see a different side of God than the one Reverend Tobias usually spoke of. Several times in the wilderness, thousands of Israelites were wiped out for complaining or disobeying God's laws. It appeared to Verity that God got angry a lot, and when he was angry, many people were destroyed rather quickly. I thought it was wrong to get angry, she said to herself. I wonder if there are times when it's okay to be angry. This led her to think again about life after death. If God was so upset with all these people that he killed them, would he then turn around and offer them a place in heaven? The chances of her father being up in heaven with God were becoming more remote. And yet, she puzzled aloud, God doesn't threaten any of the Israelites with going to hell or offer any of them the reward of heaven. So far, the Old Testament hadn't yielded much detail about heaven or hell. For that reason, she decided to begin reading the New Testament every day as well. It seemed to her that Reverend Tobias had usually quoted from the New Testament, not the Old, so perhaps Jesus would have more to say about life after death. As there wasn't much else to do that rainy Saturday, she just carried on reading the Gospel of Matthew. Again and again she saw the phrase, "the kingdom of heaven," which she jotted down on her pad of paper. But in Matthew chapter 5, she came across verse 5 that stated, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That reminded her of the promise God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about inheriting the land forever. Then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, she read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting down in the kingdom of heaven at a big feast. So would that take place first? An hour later, she came across Matthew chapter 19, where in verses 23 to 24, Jesus said it would be hard for even a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. If it was hard for a rich man to go to heaven, what about her dad? That evening, after she had eaten dinner and everyone had retired to bed, Verity came across a passage that made her sit straight up and shudder. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time," and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did verses 48 to 51 of Matthew 24 really mean what they said? Because if they did, then it didn't sound like God offered much hope for someone who had lived like her father had. Because if they did, then it didn't sound like God offered much hope for someone who had lived like her father had. Every now and then, Verity tried to express one of her many questions to the other members of her household around the supper table. She was getting used to the fact that no one had even considered the question, never mind the answer. However, the more she read, the more she had an overwhelming desire to discuss what she was finding with someone else. On the Sunday evening before school began, she tried again. "Why do you suppose anyone would want to worship an idol?" she asked, as the lasagna was being served. "Why do you suppose anyone would want to worship God?" mocked Thomas. "Thomas!" rebuked Kara sharply. "Don't ever talk like that around here." Turning to Verity, Kara said wearily, "I have no idea about idols, but I do feel you are spending too much time reading that Bible." Verity was dismayed. "Mum, how can anyone spend too much time reading the Bible?" Kara shook her head. "Verity, it's putting a lot of funny thoughts in your head. We don't have Reverend Tobias here to sort you out." "Funny ideas? Mum, you're a Christian. Isn't Christianity based on the Bible?" "Yes, of course," stammered her mother. "But you need a pastor or someone with a full understanding to help you get it all straight. Last night, Verity, you asked why God said he was only one God, when Reverend Tobias used to say, God is three in one. You were too young to understand the Bible by yourself." That evening, as Verity got ready for bed, she thought about what her mother had said. Maybe Mum and Thomas were right. After all, she had gone searching for answers, and instead she was just finding more and more questions. She looked at her Bible lying on the bedside table, a blue ribbon marking her place, only such a little way into the whole book. Instead of her usual excitement about curling up in bed to continue her quest, she felt a great despair wash over her. "Maybe I won't bother reading tonight," she decided with a sigh. "I'll do something else instead." As she gazed around the room for ideas of just what she might do, her eyes fell on a new picture hanging on the wall. "Aunt Judy must have hung it in here," she guessed. She shuffled across the room in her slippers, and then stopped short, realizing who it was that smiled out at her. The man in the picture was her dad, and he was holding a little girl in his arms at a cottage. "That's me," she gasped, recognizing her brown hair and eyes. Suddenly, she remembered this very moment. Her father had taken her down to the lake while her mum had been busy making dinner. She'd been afraid to put her face in the water, but with Dad's patient, little games, he had finally convinced her to try it. Both faces were smiling triumphantly because they had just overcome a tremendous hurdle. Why had she forgotten that moment? She actually had one good memory. Were there more tucked away? A little corner of her heart brightened, and then a totally unconnected thought came into her mind. She didn't know why. It suddenly occurred to her to pray. She had never prayed on her own before. "If that difficult book really is God's word," she said aloud, "then why not pray to God for his help in understanding it?" Throwing off the despair, she reflected on how God had brought about all kinds of unexpected events when people had decided to pray to him for help. In fact, wasn't that the whole lesson she'd been learning from Israel in the wilderness? They had constantly provoked God to anger, because whenever they needed help, they complained. If they had truly appreciated his might and power and love, they would have seen their needs and humbly asked God for help. She was able to look at their circumstances and see that surely a God that could open a sea and let them walk on dry land was capable of providing water in a desert. So now, what about her own life? With a great sense of relief, she prayed, "Dear God, I am so very thankful to be alive. I am so glad you have written a book so that I can know about you. Please, please help me understand what I'm reading. And if there's anyone around here who could help explain the Bible to me, please let me find them. Amen." With a quiet assurance in her heart, believing that all was now in God's hands, she laid her head upon her pillow and fell asleep.